In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. Unstopped, light can travel about 186,000 miles per second. To put that into context, a ray of light could travel around the world 7.5 times in 1 second. It would take a beam of light about 1.3 seconds to get to the moon. And the sun is about 93 million miles away from us, so its light traveling to us is about 8 minutes and 20 seconds old. Outer space, the universe itself, is so massive that the measurement of a light year is needed to measure the estimations of its size. Unstopped again, that light could travel 5,865,696,000,000 miles in a year's time. That would be like going to the sun 93 million miles away and back 31,536 times. Some scientists have even estimated that the observable universe is 93 billion light years across. 93 billion light years multiplied by 5.865 trillion miles in a light year. And the size of the known universe is beyond comprehension. And while this is truly astounding, amazing to us, it's simply nothing compared to God. He created all of it in a matter of moments and developed it into what we now know in a mere 6 days' time. And all by the very simple power of His Word. Out of nothing, ex nihilo. And the human body, as we well know here sitting before us, is made up of trillions of atoms. God has made each and every one of those atoms, and He knows exactly what they're doing at any given time in the 7 billion plus people living on this earth at any given time. He knows every square inch of the whole massive universe. Every subatomic particle of billions of bodies, of people, of animals, not to mention every ounce of matter on this planet. What a truly astounding God there is, who has created all these things and still takes care of them. Destruction of the whole world in a worldwide flood while preserving 8 people and 2 of every kind of animal. Dispersing the masses across the surface of the planet and creating many new languages. Causing a 90-year-old woman to conceive and bear a son. Using Joseph's betrayal by his brothers to ultimately preserve the Hebrew people. Appearing to Moses in a burning bush without the bush being destroyed. Sending 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt. Bringing over 1 million Hebrew people through the Red Sea on dry ground. Preserving that people's clothing and possessions during years of wilderness wandering. Feeding them with manna and quail every single day for a generation of time. The destruction of Jericho's walls by marching and the trumpet blast. Samson's amazing feats of strength, allowing Gideon's band of 300 men to defeat the Midianite army. David's slaying of Goliath. Not to mention each and every life that has been conceived and every harvest that has been gathered. All of these things are but a sampling of the mighty works of God. And then we get to the Word of God taking on human flesh. Son of God and Son of Man in the one Lord Jesus Christ, more mighty works had to follow. The Bible records 37 of Jesus' known miracles. His own resurrection would certainly top that list. And as a result of his work of redemption, of his suffering and his death upon the cross, the Lord Jesus then continues to work the miracle of faith in the hearts of all believers through word and through sacraments. Fully aware of the vastness of Jesus' own mighty works, the Apostle John ends his gospel by saying, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." That sounds unbelievable, beyond our understanding. Yet not when one considers Jesus' true identity as God in flesh. It's rather fitting to reflect upon such wondrous works of God on this Holy Trinity Sunday. Too many attempts are made to try to better understand the nature of our God, one God in three persons, with very limited earthly illustrations. Not enough effort is made to focus in on those works of God, chiefly those performed by our Lord Jesus. As we have confessed in the Athanasian Creed, it is necessary for salvation to believe in that triune nature of God and in the person and the works of Jesus Christ. This is what is meant by those who have done good. They believe in Jesus. Those who do not believe these two crucial tenets of the Christian faith are those who have done evil and will not be saved. That chief work of God in Christ is his suffering and his death on the cross. Without this monumental moment in history, all hope would be lost for life eternal. And you know, as a human being in this world, your own sin, that you do deserve, have earned God's just and eternal punishment. You feel it down in your own heart, in your own core, your guilt and your shame. How can you stand before a truly righteous and perfect God? Even your best good works have, at the very least, a tinge of self-righteousness to them. Yet Jesus pays for all of these, for all sin, by his atoning death upon the cross. All guilt, all shame is taken away in Jesus' sacrifice. It is enough for you, for me, for all people, and then some. The Jews gathered around Jesus there in John chapter 8 were wrestling, struggling, truly doubting Jesus' identity. They did not have the very benefit of the Holy Spirit like you and I do this day following our baptism into Christ. They were steeped, though, in their own wisdom, their own understanding, their arrogance, and their pride, and Jesus was truly laying it on thick. Jews had accused him of being a Samaritan, a half-breed, having a demon. Jesus' reply It's gold. I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Can you imagine a human being today saying such a thing? Just do as I tell you, you will never, ever die. Now, the Jews believe that Abraham was far greater than Jesus, this man standing before them. And they knew that Abraham had died long before. So how could this mortal, this Jesus, be better than their beloved Abraham? Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Well, Jesus was not yet 50 years old, as the Jews noted. Abraham lived over 2,000 years before. How could Abraham possibly have seen this Jesus day? Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The Jews understood this claim of Jesus perfectly. He is saying that he existed before Abraham. Jesus is saying that he is Yahweh God, true God in the flesh, the very Lord and God of Abraham, their beloved father. Yes, they understood very well and thus picked up stones with which to kill Jesus. So how did Abraham see Jesus' day? Through eyes of faith, of course. Abraham believed the promise of God, that his own son would be his heir from his own flesh, even in that old age, and that his descendants then from that one son would far outnumber the stars in the sky. Abraham believed in God, in his word, and God gave it into his account, credited it to him as righteousness, perfection, holiness, life, salvation. Abraham believed the promise that the Savior from all sin would truly come. Isaac believed it as well. Jacob believed it, as did Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and all the faithful of the Old Testament. They all believed the very promise of the coming Christ, and that faith allowed them to see then even Jesus in their own day, his coming for all salvation. And Christianity is filled with many teachings that we cannot understand. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity, the two natures in Christ Jesus, the Word of God written by the hands of men, the virgin conception and birth, the miracles of Jesus, our own regeneration in baptism, and sustenance in that faith through the Lord's Supper. We need not understand these things, but only to believe them, and then to receive them. And God, the Holy Spirit, has enabled exactly that. Our faith in Jesus, our faith in his word, that what he states is true. The mighty works of God, far too many to count, even greater than all the vastness of the universe. And yet, even with all that is out there, the billions of light years across, God has sent his only begotten Son for you into this world to take on flesh and blood and our sin, to dwell here in our midst and give his life up for us all. How humbling it is to know that God has loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world, that whoever believes in Him shall never perish, but have eternal life. This is the mighty and wondrous work of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.